If you are a project manager who is constantly overwhelmed, falling behind, or probably basically questioning your ability to lead, let me tell you something that is going to be hard to, I'm scratching on my ear. Yeah, it's going to be hard to hear because it's not about your discipline, because it has nothing to do with about that. It's not because of you went in a different direction. It's because you're focused on the wrong things. Most people glorify discipline. I was part of that category as well. But without clear, intentional focus, discipline becomes nothing but busy work. You mind if I tell you a short story? So let me tell you what happened on a morning that I'll never forget. I had a major stakeholder presentation scheduled at 10 a.m. I knew it was critical because this was a make or break, and it aligned with the executives as far as where they were already starting to question the project direction. It was about 8:30 in the morning, and I made the mistake that we all make. I checked my phone. Yep, I did that. So one email came through, one message came through, and then an unexpected call came through. And suddenly I was pulled into a completely unrelated vendor issue. Then, of course, a teammate stopped by to engage about a change request that we've already discussed the following week. By the time I sat down to actually refocus, at this time it's 9:45 a.m., my thoughts were everywhere, to say the least. I wasn't keeping the main thing the main thing. That was preparing me for the actual scheduled meeting that we had. So I rushed through the slide deck. Oh man, I forgot to put a key benefit in there that would help us win the finance lead over. So needless to say, the meeting didn't go terribly, but it didn't land either. And that the sad part was, I knew what I wanted to say. I had rehearsed it. I prepared it, you know, tremendously, but I let distraction steal the one thing I could have had control over, my mental sharpness. And that's when I had an aha moment. See, it's not always about working hard. It's about protecting your focus. Focus is what separates the good from the exceptional. Most people think discipline is the key to success, but the truth is, discipline without focus just makes you tired, not better. In my opinion, right or wrong, just what I'm thinking at the time, the number one thing that quietly robbing project managers of their potential is focus. This is just not about the project management career, but it's a testimony to everything that we do in life, whether if you're studying for a certification, whether you're trying to write a book, whether you put that major workout plan together and said, yep, I'm going to put my clothes in my car and up from work, and on my way, I'm going to stop by the gym. And then all of a sudden you get distracted by a call, or you get distracted by, oh, I got to go do this. This thing is only going to take me a little bit. Point number one, focus separates you from distraction. Listen, family, you and I both have glorified being disciplined. But without focus, discipline has no direction. I am a firm believer discipline is definitely required. However, if we look at, if I was to paint you a visual, if you don't mind, I'm gonna pull up to your apartment, to your house, or wherever you're currently living at, and paint you a quick picture. I look at this as focus is the trunk. If we're looking at a tree analogy, focus is the trunk. The branches are discipline. The branches are execution. The branches are being prepared. See, I look at all of these pieces in that type of way. I believe, again, and I'll restate this, is that discipline is definitely required. But without focus, it gives discipline no purpose. This is why this is important. In project management, as well as in life, distractions are constant. You have meetings, you have emails, you even have shifting priorities. There always just seems to be some type of fire that requires you to put it out. But without clear focus, even the best efforts can lead to burnout instead of actually producing outcomes or results. Here's my actionable tips that I want you to experiment with. Start each day by identifying your critical focus area in your project, whether it's stakeholder alignment, clearing team blockers, refining scope. You kind of get where I'm going. My next actionable tip is set a timer. You want to identify your time limits that work for you. For me, when I first started off in doing this, and again, this is not something that you can do one time of not being focused. This is a everyday journey. There's days that I'm just so successful. And then there's days that, you know, I go down the journey of clicking on this little cute dog video or watching this particular post. But please listen and watch this. But I digress. But I started off with doing 15 minutes and then 30 minutes. And then this gives you an opportunity to develop over time so you can take back full attention before anything else. And again, like I stated, over time, this builds focus, which makes you more effective when it comes to being disciplined. Point number two, practice builds confidence and repetition builds identity. That is key, family. People always ask me, how did you become confident in presenting? And I said, well, I created podcasts, I made YouTube videos, and now I'm doing LinkedIn Lives. Why am I saying this? I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you the fact that it takes practice. If you look back at some of my older YouTube videos, you'll be like, wow, if you listen to some of my old podcast, it's because of the fact that I was willing to put the practice in and practice right now. I'm practicing right now. Getting these sets and reps in is so important. You can't, there's some speakers out there that are talented above measure, and I salute them, but that's not me. This is something I had to work on. This is something I had to craft and continue to grow, and I'm still growing. So when you practice until you get it wrong, the skill becomes part of your identity. Maybe I missed you. Let me pull up to your address again. When you practice until you get it wrong, the skill becomes part of your identity. That's something you have to try to do. This is important because as project managers, showing up with confidence helps you earn the trust and lead your team without second guessing. Here's some actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Rehearse stakeholder conversations until you know them inside and out. Create a personal checklist for reoccurring tasks to sharpen your actual execution. And the last and final one, visualize project success daily to embed that actual confidence. Point number three, good enough is not good enough. Good enough thinking destroys great teams. Again, good enough thinking destroys great teams. When leaders settle for good enough, teams eventually do the same. And mediocrity spreads like wildfire. If you haven't seen that before or experienced that, trust me. When you are someone that is sending out an email and you're not following up on the email because you believe that that person, because you sent an email, is going to respond back to you, and you don't set that tone with the team, and they actually see the receipts, basically meaning that you actually done it, then how can you expect for them to do it? So as a project manager, your standards shape the culture and quality of everything being delivered. Here's some actionable tips I want you to experiment with. Audit your last three deliverables for quality and not just for completion. Publicly celebrate team excellence, not just for effort. And my last and final one, regularly ask, is this our best, or are we just we're just being fast here, meaning that we're moving just so fast that we haven't took time to look at how we can get better. Point number four, mastery is invincible but unmistakable. What I mean by that? Well, when you practice deeply, others won't see your effort. They'll just notice how smooth you are. I'm just saying, if I'm being transparent with you, family, see, the perception of ease builds influence and positions you as a trusted expert. Here's my actionable tips I want you to experiment with. Simplify one process or templates others struggle with. Maybe it's the charter. I know when I first got started in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, that project charter was something else for me, because it was the challenge of trying to secure time with the sponsor. And then you don't know you haven't seen the business case just yet. And so you're trying to put this together, and then you're trying to get the business case so you can update the charter. So that was one of the documents, which is a pivotal document in most organizations. And some organizations don't use it, but again, it's a pivotal documentation, or I should say artifact. Document your workflows for others to learn from. Offer to lead a meeting or review session showcasing your quiet excellence. Point number five, under stress, You fall to the level of your preparation. Man, I love this one so much because a lot of times as project managers, we get stressed out. We may not articulate it, but we'll do things to show you that we're stressed out. What do I mean by that? Well, what we will start doing is we'll start looking at our phone and, like I said, going through and watching those cute dog videos, or we'll go to the break room, or we'll just take a walk somewhere, but we're not taking a walk to clear our mind. We're just taking a walk to get away from the work that is stressing us out. Okay, that may have been me. So I apologize if that's not you, but stress just doesn't magically make you better. It reveals how well you prepared. In project management, high stress moments are common, and your calmness protects your team. If you're calm when everything is on fire, when you're calm when chaos is showing up in every form and fashion, but you're showing up with solutions, not more, adding more to the problem. If you haven't watched me long enough, I always share that we can get so caught up in focusing on the problem that we don't even have the energy nor the bandwidth to actually focus on the solution. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Rehearse your escalation path monthly. Build a crisis checklist. Yes, a crisis checklist for emergencies, and reflect weekly on how you handle pressure and where you have areas to actually improve. Point number six, preparation is a silent separator. The difference between you and the next person has nothing to do with talent, has nothing to do with drive. It's actually your preparation. See why this is important. Clients and leadership remember who came prepared, not who looked busy. You walk past those people that they always seem that they're so busy, and then you look at their output and you're like, man, you've been working. Okay. I'm not even gonna take you there. But you get where I'm going, family. It's all about really being prepared. Leaders looks at this a lot more than what you think. Here's my actionable tip. Create a pre-meeting checklist template. Prepare your questions before stakeholder discussion. Review last project notes before new engagement. Point number seven, practice until you can't get it wrong builds calm under chaos. Whew. You know, while you're also being calm, I know what you're thinking. Well, you're like, well, you can't always be calm. And you're right. I'm not going to refute that. But what I would say, you have a better chance when things go chaotic. So repetition creates reflex, which helps you stay calm when everything else is falling apart. This is important, family, because calmness in crisis reassures your team and helps you think clearly. Here's my three actionable tips I would love for you to go experiment with. Build a weekly habit of practicing project rescue scenarios. Journal what triggered stresses and how you can actually handle it. And then last, final one, review your risk register weekly so you can stay mentally ahead and actually ready. Point number eight, practice until feedback becomes fine-tuning, not fixing. If you can notice something, there's a theme that's going on. I'm talking about practice. I'm talking about focus. I'm talking about determination. Well, yeah, I'm talking about determination, or basically being ambitious in a way that allows you to be overprepared. Reason why I'm sharing this with you, family, is because if we don't understand how to fine tune, not just fixing, because a lot of times we go in and fix things and then we never come back to see how we fixed it instead of fine tuning it. When you practice deeply, feedback refines your edge, not repairs your mistakes. This is important because as you progress, you want coaching to enhance your game, not rebuild your fundamentals. Here's my three actionable tips I love for you to go experiment with. Share deliverables early and ask for micro adjustments. Treat each feedback session like a tune-in session and keep feedback logs to track your evolution. One of my favorite artifacts that I use is a RAID queue log. What is that? Risk, action items, issues, decisions, and the queue is for questions. I love you keeping that because at a very high level, I understand the decisions that were made in a meeting or through email. I understand the risks that I need to really be paying attention to, but the caveat there is I'm still looking at my risk register. I'm still looking at my issue log when it comes to issues. But most of all, where were some of the questions that were asked during these particular meetings? Point number nine, the standard you accept becomes the standard your team adopts. Like I said, family, it's hard at many times when you're leading a project and you're not showing up to be exceptional. I know you're going to have days where you can't be exceptional because there's things that happen as they say, lives. And what that translates to is that you have to understand that you still have to do the best that you can of what you have. And the way to do that is to show up to be exceptional. And being exceptional means breaking the standards. If the standard is, okay, we don't use a project charter, create one anyway, so at least you understand the concepts of it. This is important because project quality and culture start with you again. Here's my actionable tips I'd love for you to go experiment with. Set a visible quality standard for deliverables. Acknowledge when standards are met and course correct respectfully. Point number 10, time reveals who rehearsed and who was just actually winging it. Hey, you know what? You can fake it, as they say, until you make it in the short term. But time reveals all. It exposes the lack of preparation. So this is important because long projects require long-term consistency. What is consistency? That means I'm showing up. What is consistency? That means that when I said I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, I'm going to do it. When I told you I was going to be here, I was going to be here. And it also, it prevents you having the momentum that is required to achieve excellence. Experiment with these actionable tips. Review your performance monthly, not just at the end of the project. Let me park here parenthetically too, family. A lot of times what ends up happening, especially for us that run a predictive or a waterfall type project, basically meaning that we plan everything up front, we wait until the very end to do our lessons learned register. Now, I'm not going to just point fingers at you because I have a finger that's coming back at me. I've been guilty of this as well. And then we miss out on the opportunity for some things that we can do better in the next project because we waited until the end. And most of the time when the project is in, people are rejoicing and happy. And the last thing they want to do is attend a lessons learned register meeting to go over the lessons learned. So I would recommend that you actually keep your lessons learned very active throughout the whole project. Prepare scripts or responses, like I said, for reoccurring issues and standardize reporting so you never scramble at the last minute. Well, family, I truly appreciate you giving me this opportunity, but I'm not done. I want to close with some final thoughts about leading with focus. Number one, you don't need more motivation. And I read the books, listen to the audios, look at the affirmations. I'm huge on that. However, you need more focus. You don't need to do more. You need to do what matters most and do it consistently. And the last and final one, the world is full of distracted people, but the project managers who win, they protect their focus like it's the greatest asset because it is. So remember, real challenges happen when you don't, when you're not intentional about taking action. You know, I'm about action, 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 execution, execution. Because if we just sit and listen to episodes or we just read an article and we don't go in and experiment with it, I'm not giving you something prescriptive. I always want you to experiment with the information that I provide you. So with that being the case, here's some things I want you to look at. Identify one thing in your role you need to master, then go practice it until you can't get it wrong. Number two, eliminate just one daily distraction that's stealing your energy. And most of all, we all know, stealing your time. Block out, the next and final one, block out time to work on what truly matters. No interruptions, no excuses. And I'm going to tell you about this last one. There's going to be some people that are not going to be happy with you. But at the end of the day, you have to do what works for you so you can be better for them. So I always say block that time out and just get full focus, whether it's 15 minutes, whether it's 30 minutes. You have to experiment to see what works for you. And my closing remarks before I end today's episode. Because discipline without focus is just motion without meaning. And you were meant, you were called not to be average, but you were called to be exceptional and you were called to be a leader. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. I appreciate the opportunity. Shout out to Vegas in the building. I appreciate you. Any questions, comments, or thoughts that you guys may have, please, you can reach me. You know how to find me. Until next time.